Welcome to the Astrology Rocks podcast for the week of April 30th, 2012, brought to you by Sastrology. I'm Michelle Suzanne, author of your weekly forecast at Sastrology, and you'll also find me at starstruckastrology.org. I'm very happy to be co-hosting this podcast with my friend and colleague, Jeffrey Kishner, editor and publisher of Sastrology. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Michelle.
How goes it?
It goes.
Yes.
So I have a reader question.
Very cool.
This came through the Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And for any of our listeners who want to ask us a question that will be of benefit to everyone, just send us a tweet, Sastrology, with the hashtag podcast so that I will notice. This is from Bits-O-Me, and the question is, what is the meaning of transiting moon in the same sign as your rising sign?
Hmm. Okay. So, Bits-O-Me, that's a great question, because the transiting moon will be conjoining your rising sign every month. So, for beginners in astrology, your rising sign is it's a sign on the cusp of the first house of your chart, and the first house is all about yourself. It's very personal. It can indicate your physical appearance. It can indicate the way that you seem to filter life's experience, the way that you meet your environment. It's highly instinctual. We don't often consciously engage our rising sign, our first house. It's just sort of part of who we are. Jeffrey, did Bits of Me happen to mention what sign her rising sign is?
No.
Okay.
Do you want me to send over her Twitter avatar, and you can make a guess based on her photos?
Oh, that sounds like fun, but no. I think that's okay. We won't drive our listeners too bonky. When the moon is connecting with your rising sign, you're feeling, oh boy, all kinds of things. I mean, it's hard not to have your heart out on your sleeve. You're feeling more connected to your emotions and your feelings. Even if you're someone that tends not to delve too deeply into the world of feelings, there's a sort of a signal, isn't there, Jeffrey? It's like a little button that turns on, that activates you into something.
Well, it's a little more public.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's your ascendant. It's how you meet the world.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of people's perceptions of you or your stance towards interactions, there could be a little more intuition or a bit more of feeling like your emotions are on your sleeve, perhaps.
Yeah. The moon is so connected with home and domestic issues of emotional comfort as well. So depending on the sign of the first house, you may instinctively feel like you need more of your comfort stuff, whatever that is. It could be comfort food or your favorite, I don't know, objects, the equivalent of a comfort blanket, you know, that kind of thing. But definitely there's a reigning need to feel emotionally settled and good when the moon hits your first house. And it's a little trigger that says, I need to do something for me right now.
Yeah, and, you know, the moon is only in every sign for, what, 2.5 days, right?
That's right.
So depending on how sensitive you are to the moon, you may, you know, maybe just feel a little more cranky Or, you know, just more in tune with that energy, which may be a little more vulnerable. And, you know, you may feel a little more defensive if you're not comfortable being open and attuned. Or it may just fly right by you.
Yeah, could be. It really does. It's, as you say, it depends on how in touch you are with the moon. For people that are ruled by the moon, Cancer rising, you can probably feel that moon change in signs, you know. it just depends on that first house. So bits of me, if you feel like tweeting us your rising sign, we can go into a bit more detail on that.
But we don't want to.
Okay.
Right? We're not doing readings here. Well, we're doing things that are of benefit to everyone.
Okay, but to me, you heard the boss.
Yeah. I'm pretty adamant about not doing readings over podcasts.
That's
but fair. Making it more of an educational experience. If people want more personalized attention, they should talk to you. And
that's right.
Hit you up at starstruckastrology.org.
That's the place.
Yes. There, we got that out of the way.
That's right.
Okay, so this week ends, because there is no beginning, with a full moon at 16 degrees Scorpio on Saturday. It feels like this just happened a year ago.
That we had a full moon in Scorpio a year ago?
Yeah.
Well, you are right.
Yes. We haven't talked about Scorpio in so long. I think that's maybe what I'm trying to say, because nobody's really been transiting there for a while.
Right.
So, I miss the energy.
Well, that's because you have Jupiter in Scorpio.
I do.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying where.
All right.
So, this particular full moon is also opposite Jupiter at 21 degrees Taurus, which is about 5 degrees away from the sun. So, we're dealing with, and we talked about this, I think, a week or two ago when we mentioned the ingress of the sun into Taurus. You know, we've got this very kind of earthy, sensual, pragmatic energy where we can actually get things done and settle into our routines and take all that sort of brash, inspiring Aries energy and get down to business. And then we're all of a sudden hit with this very strong, you know, dark undercurrent of emotional energy that, I mean, when I look at it, it feels like it kind of puts the brakes on this kind of laid back, maybe plotting energy that we're experiencing in Taurus. Because whenever we get into the depths of Scorpio, it kind of pulls us out of our comfort zone into a very deep, unconscious place and brings up, you know, all this stuff that we're often not very comfortable with. So it kind of makes us think for a bit, okay, I know I'm here to experience life's pleasures and to get things done and to materialize my inspirations and all that, but if it's not congruent with this more inner voice type of direction that it's going to go off center. Does that make sense?
I think I understand what you're saying. Yeah. We settle into this comfort routine with the Taurus side of this energy, especially with the Sun and Jupiter together, right? It's all about really, really luxuriating and all the sensuous pleasures. Then we get this full moon in Scorpio, Scorpio being the opposite sign from Taurus, and suddenly things from deep within us just well up. And typical of a full moon, they just tend to pop. And so all that Taurus comfort can quickly dissipate into Scorpio insecurity, fear, longing for something that perhaps can't even be named. In the Scorpio side of ourselves, we can get in touch sometimes with loneliness. There's an existential kind of crisis there. Do you agree with that, Jeffrey?
Yeah. While you were talking, I was thinking about the forecast that you wrote for this week. That we long to connect, but we're also afraid of connecting because there's an extreme amount of unsafeness involved in really meeting someone tête-à-tête, like heart-to-heart even. Just, you know, that's, you know, we want to merge with another person to conquer this existential loneliness, but that's also how we end up getting hurt and damaged and broken.
Yeah, there's a real possibility. There's such a vulnerability there. And as humans, we really, certainly in our culture, we've really learned to mask vulnerability, right? So we can go to the Taurus side and mask vulnerability with showing off our fabulous collection of whatever, right? Could be jewelry, could be clothing, it could be houses, cars, you name it, luxury items. In the Scorpio side, if we want to mask our vulnerability, we can go to that bravado, that sarcastic mask. And people generally don't like to really reveal what's really happening inside, because that's a pretty tender place. So this is it's a tender full moon. And yet there are some lovely, lovely things happening. So there's no reason for our listeners to feel like, you know, it's the end of the, it's the end of the earth or anything like that, but do expect to connect with your deeper feelings and to perhaps feel that sense of when the chips are down, if you stripped everything and everyone away from my life, where would I be and who would I be? And that's very much in keeping with Scorpio energy. So that can be a process of inquiry that feels safe for you, or it can throw you into a state of turmoil. And that's pretty much a choice that you make, how you want to deal with that.
Is it really a choice?
I like to believe that the feelings that we experience are initially, they're unconscious, and then when we become aware, oh, look, I'm railing at the world. I'm feeling entirely afraid of losing everything that matters to me, which is a very Scorpio place to be. Now that I realize I'm feeling that way, can I choose to see this differently? Can I choose to feel differently?
Yes, but you have to step outside of yourself and see that you're reacting this way.
Agreed.
In order to make that choice. I think for a lot of people, they just get into their scorpionic rage and act out.
Yep, I think that that's absolutely possible. And I'm encouraging our listeners, if that happens, to go in and remember, you know, just to see it, view it, witness it, and then look at it a little bit more objectively, if you can do that.
Yes. We strive for consciousness.
We strive. We do strive indeed.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, Jeffrey.
This is a tangent, but have you ever heard of Pinterest?
Yes, do tell me more.
Oh, so Pinterest, this is not an advertisement. Pinterest, no. I think it's spelled Pinterest.com, mm-hmm. is this website. It's only 2 years old, but it's been growing exponentially, where you find things on the web, usually pretty things, right?
Yeah,
and you pin them onto boards, and you can organize the boards like shoes or food or cats, whatever. You know, it's like collecting. Like if you're planning your wedding,
okay,
you can pin dresses into a board, and you can look at other people's boards and for inspiration. You can follow people and all that social media stuff. And while we're talking, I was thinking, this is very Torian.
Yeah, that really is.
And I'm thinking, you know, maybe its growth has been so explosive because Jupiter is in Taurus. It's celebrating and enlarging and exaggerating our desire to collect beautiful things.
That makes so much sense. Absolutely. Beautiful.
Yes.
I'll be doing a little Pinteresting myself after this podcast. Just go and check that out. Sounds fantastic. And it sounds great for people that are into vision boarding.
What is vision boarding?
When you create a vision board, so it's much like collaging or Pinteresting. You're selecting visuals from magazines or say travel brochures, cookbooks, all the things that you wish to amass and accumulate. And having visual reminders in front of you on your board is another extraordinary way to get magnetic and to attract, right? To get in resonance with those things that you desire.
That sounds like a Scorpio full moon thing to me, because
yeah,
there's that magnetic attraction. And also, is that something you really want public?
Well, I'm not sure. See, I don't know that I'd be putting my vision boards out there for people to see.
Uh-huh.
But that's because I don't think anybody would be particularly interested in, you know, that. But from a voyeur point of view and from getting great ideas from other people, yeah, I'd love to see what other people put up there, because there's a lot of inspired ideas.
Yes.
But this, yes, I think vision boarding or Pinteresting is a very cool thing you might want to engage in at this
I think it's just called pinning.
Pinning, but I kind of want to call it Pinteresting.
No, Pinteresting would be an adjective. Like, that's very Pinteresting.
But in an age where we turn adjectives into verbs and
you can pin something.
True.
Or you can pine for someone.
Yes, indeed.
But you don't Pinterest for someone.
In the privacy of my mind, Jeffrey, I'm just going to let you know, I'm going to be calling it Pinteresting things from here on.
Okay.
And that can drive you crazy, and that's okay.
Yes, I will judge you with my Mars in Virgo.
There you go.
So, dear listeners, I know we've subjected you to extremely short podcasts the last few weeks. I'm sure the planets will configure themselves such that we'll have more aspects to talk about. I know we are entering eclipse season.
Oh.
And
yeah.
That will no doubt get us all upset. That's in June. In late May.
Oh, it's
May.
Coming.
Yeah, late we've May got and an early eclipse. June, huh?
That's right.
Gemini.
Actually, we have solar eclipse on May the 20th. So there are many things coming up to talk about. But first you have to get through this wacky full moon, listeners.
Yes, and then we can talk about the Gemini Sagittarius axis eclipses. Mm-hmm. So, dear listeners, I have checked the iTunes page for this astrology podcast, and nobody's left a review in months. And I would entreat you, if you are a subscriber, to give us a rating and or review so that other listeners can discover us as they're browsing other astrology podcasts. And if you would like to know how the planets, as they move through the sky, affect you, you can support Sistrology by going to mytransits.com, which will bring you to our transit reports page. Enter your birth information, and you can purchase a computerized, personalized transit report, which will outline how the planets, as they make angles to your natal chart, planets will affect you. When you check out, use the discount code SASSY718 for 10% off. This is Jeff Kushner with Michelle Suzanne. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.